We need to pray, and we're going to get right into God's Word, all right? Father, we just thank you for this opportunity that we have, Lord, to share your Word together, the words of life. And Father, I pray that you would speak into each and every heart and accomplish what you desire to do in each one. Father, I ask for your help today that I would say exactly what you'd have me to and say only that which is right about you. That you be glorified and your people be blessed. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, I always like to pray before I preach or teach. It is just my declaration of my need for the Lord's help and my request for his help. I don't take for granted the Lord's anointing or blessing, and so I always ask for that in sincere prayer. I hope that you don't just think that it is a ritual. It's amazing how we can do that. Sometimes we fall into a mindless habit, just kind of a ritual thing that we go through. I heard about one Lutheran pastor who would always start each service by walking to the pulpit and saying, "The Lord be with you." And the congregation would always say, "And also with you." But one Sunday morning, there was the sound system wasn't working right, and so he walks to the pulpit and he says, "There's something wrong with the microphone." And the people said, "And also with you." So it's amazing how we can kind of fall into those little habits and we don't even think about what we're doing. By the way, that'll keep the pastor humble, won't it? But anyway, we're going to begin a series today that I believe will impact every area of our life. And I'm talking about every one of us. I thought about maybe I need a new catchy title for this series, but sometimes we just need to deal with things head on and we need to just call it what it is. And so here it comes: pride. Oh, that was exactly the response that I was expecting. I know that sounds like a lot of fun and you're excited about it. Okay, well, just think about all those other people that need it. Sometimes pride is kind of like body odor. You don't know you have it, but everyone else does. And if you're thinking of somebody like you wish that they were here to hear this message today, there's probably somebody that's glad you're here to hear the message today. So pride is self-exaltation, arrogance, haughtiness, putting yourself above others. It's thinking you're better or looking down on others with scorn or contempt. It is called the original sin, that desire to exalt oneself. But it is also the underlying sin, the motivation behind so many other sins. Pride is so often the sin behind our disobedience. Somehow we think that our way is better, or the rules don't apply to us. We're not like other people somehow. You know, one of the greatest braggarts of all time was Muhammad Ali. In fact, he said often, "I'm the greatest." But he wasn't talking about being a braggart. "I'm the greatest." There's a story about Muhammad Ali being on an airplane one day, and the stewardess noticed his seatbelt wasn't fastened. And she said, "Sir, you're going to need to fasten your seatbelt." And he said, "Superman don't need no seatbelt." She said, "Superman don't need no airplane." Yeah. Sometimes we just need somebody to bring us back down to earth, right? But it's amazing how that we can fall into that sin of pride, because in our culture, the word pride is not even considered to be a bad thing. Now, I will say that there is a way that we use the word pride or proud in our culture. We don't actually mean a sinful thing. We say things to our children sometimes like, "I'm so proud of you." And what we mean by that is that we're pleased with them. We're pleased with the person that they are becoming. We're pleased with that. And in fact, I will tell you that if you look at some of the modern translations, there are places where the Apostle Paul was bragging about those he was writing to, and the translators used the word pride or proud there. But understand this: when you look at pride in the Bible, The word that was translated as pride originally in the Bible, it is 100% of the time a terrible thing. And the word where Paul is bragging about somebody, it's not the same word. It's talking about, you know, acknowledging that somebody's doing good, as in you're pleased with them. In fact, when our Heavenly Father wanted to brag on His Son Jesus, He didn't say, "I'm proud of my boy." He said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Now, you know what? This isn't just about semantics. But the issue here is that it's amazing how we can, over time, just begin to accept something that the Bible clearly says is sin. And we somehow, over time, just begin to embrace the philosophies and the attitudes of the world. And some of the things that I'm going to say in this message may go against the grain of what you've always thought and even what you've been taught. But I challenge you to hear the Word of God today and to see what God's Word says about it, because I'm telling you, this is something that impacts all of us. Each of us need to deal with this issue of pride sometimes. I remember when I was just 12 years old, I went to a Christian camp, and one day an older gentleman came to the camp, and he was going to go on a hike with us and have a special devotion out in the woods. And so as we walked along, he called me to his side, and he put his hand on my shoulder, and he used me to steady himself as he walked along the path. And after a few minutes, he said to me, he said, "Are you proud?" Well, in my little 12-year-old mind, I knew the right answers to say. I said, "I'm proud to be a Christian." He didn't say another word. But in my heart, I knew that I was proud that he had chosen me. I was proud that I was strong and he could lean on me. I had a lot of pride in my life, and it wasn't really about being a Christian. But it's amazing how we can get to the place where we see pride as an acceptable thing or even as a good thing. It's one of those things that we kind of learn as we grow up, where kids are in school and or even at home, and oftentimes they're told they should be proud of themselves. They should be proud of their accomplishments and proud of their work. You should be proud. It's kind of a theme in America. You should be proud. We should always strive for excellence and do our best in everything that we do. The Bible says that whatever we do it as unto the Lord and not unto men. So I'm in no way saying that we should do second best, that we shouldn't strive for excellence. No, because we are doing it heartily as unto the Lord. In fact, I believe God deserves our very best. But here is a real key to understanding how pride comes in. Because when pride comes in, we're not doing it as unto the Lord, seeking God's approval to please God. We're seeking the approval of man to make ourselves look good in the eyes of man. And there's a big difference. Sin of pride is always looking for the approval of man and oftentimes for position. But when we're humble, we are seeking to please the Lord and to serve Him. You know, and just because we're believers, it doesn't mean that we are exempt from the sin of pride. Too often, our religion gets twisted into some kind of pride rather than a cause for humility. It's really pretty strange when you consider the fact that we are all saved by grace and nothing that we ourselves have done. You know, I was thinking about it this morning. Sometimes pride keeps people from worshiping God. They're too proud. They won't sing, they won't lift their hands, they won't clap, they won't really participate. They're too proud. And sometimes people are proud of the way they worship. Y'all are really quiet. But we all deal with this sin We all deal with this issue of the heart called pride. And it has become such an accepted part of our culture. Listen, in the time that we live in, it is actually celebrated in our culture. It's not really the first time it's happened, because the Bible tells me in Malachi 3:15, so now we call the proud blessed. Pride is sanitized and even sought after in our culture, and it's only when it's the most flamboyant, over-the-top examples that we recoil and maybe resist pride. It's just become acceptable, and not just acceptable, but listen, even accepted or expected in our leaders. We got a different way of talking about pride sometimes now. We talk about self-esteem. I just want to tell you, if you want to feel good about yourself, instead of thinking about all of your accomplishments and what you've done and how good you are, think about what He's done and how good He is and what He's done for you. That'll make you feel good. Think about the fact that He calls you His own. He calls you His child. That'll make you feel good. It's about what He's done, not about what you've done. But in this world, they talk about self-esteem, and a lot of times it's just code for pride. They talk about how the need of man today is that we need to love ourselves. That's what's really wrong with the world. It's not any longer that man is born with a sin nature. It's that, well, we just got to learn to love ourselves. And I know some of you are saying, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. That's the philosophy of the world that's been brought into the church. Because here's what the Bible says. 2 Timothy 3:2. Know this, in the last times, the last days, it's going to be perilous times. Men will be lovers of themselves. Terrible times in the last days. Men will be lovers of themselves. Lovers of money. Boasters, proud. We are living in that generation. And it is not just acceptable, it is celebrated that men are lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful and proud, and we celebrate it. You say, you want to talk about the end times? You don't have to look at the Middle East and study up on Revelation. You can look at America right now. Because we are living in this generation more than any other right now in America. Lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful and proud. Terrible times, the Bible says. Society may consider pride to be a good thing, but we need to hear the word of the Lord and get pride out of our heart and out of our life, because God hates pride. He hates it. Proverbs 16:5, everyone proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Everyone proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. The only time I hear the word abomination used in our culture right now, in our society, is when believers are referring to homosexuality. In fact, it's rather religiously correct to talk about how homosexuality is an abomination to the Lord. The Bible also says that the one who has a proud heart is an abomination to the Lord. Do we really believe that it is an abomination to the Lord? Because if we do, then we should want no part of it. We should want it to have no little corner of our heart. See, maybe we just think, it's not that big of a deal. But evidently, the Lord does. And you know what? When it's all said and done, his is the only opinion that matters, isn't it? Amen. Of all the sins that you find in the scriptures, there are none that the Lord hates more than pride. And you find many, many stories and examples of when someone allowed pride in their life and the Lord brought them down. It happens over and over and over again. James 4:6 says, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. He gives grace to the humble. That's undeserved, unearned favor, blessings that come on who? The humble. Not because they deserve it, but just because of God's grace, he shows grace to the humble. Those same blessings, that same favor does not come on the proud, because they would think that those blessings are something that they earned, something that they deserve, something that is the result of their goodness and their doing. Instead, the Bible tells us God resists the proud. The NIV says he opposes the proud. Listen, when God resists you, when he opposes you, you are headed for trouble. He opposes the proud. Resist. We love to quote Romans 8:31, if God is for us, who can be against us? And you know what? You can be right smack dab in the middle of God's will, doing what you're supposed to be doing, and you can meet resistance and opposition, and there's going to be a test, a trial, a battle, struggle. But when God is for you, you're going to overcome. Amen. But when God resists you, when God opposes you, you're going nowhere. And sometimes when we think that it's the devil, we might need to check our own heart and make sure that we haven't allowed pride to get in somehow in some way. Amen. Why is pride called the original sin? Well, before God made man, Satan was a beautiful angel named Lucifer who led the worship of heaven. I don't know what it is about worship leaders, but sometimes they fall into pride. God had created him for this sole purpose, to bring glory and honor and worship to God. And in pride and selfish ambition, he rebelled against the Most High God. Isaiah 14, verse 12 through 15 tells us about it. It says, how you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, the lowest depths of the pit. Five times Lucifer used this phrase, I will. You see, pride is all about I and what I want to do. But you know what? It didn't turn out the way that he thought it was going to turn out, did it? No. The Bible says he was cast down to the pit, and we know that in eternity he's going to be cast into the lake of fire for all eternity. But he wanted to sit above the stars. He says, I will be like the Most High. And then in the garden he comes to Eve, and he tempts Adam and Eve. And really, that temptation was about pride. It wasn't just about eating a piece of fruit. It was about pride. He says to Eve, you will not surely die. God had told them, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But Satan says, you will not surely die, but when you eat of it, You will be like God, knowing good and evil. Remember what he said? I will be like the Most High. And here's the parallel he tells Eve. You will be like God. I can be like God. I can make my own judgments, my own laws and rules. Nobody's going to rule over me. You know, Genesis tells us that we were created in His image. And some people take one phrase from Scripture and they just override all of the rest of Scripture with one phrase. Error. Yes, we were created in His image, but that doesn't mean that we were created exactly like Him in every way. I can assure you that He is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. We are not. He is all-knowing. He knows the beginning and the end of all of time and all of eternity. Adam and Eve didn't even have the knowledge of good and evil, much less everything. And yet they were created in His image. Pride, how quickly it can sneak in. Even from a twist of the Scripture where it's misapplied in our life. He's the only uncreated. We're created in His image, but I'm telling you, He is so far above. How'd this happen? See, Adam and Eve thought that they were moving on up to a higher place by eating of that fruit. But instead, what happened to them? God had created this perfect environment for them in the Garden of Eden. And now because of their sin of pride, disobedience, they lost. Destruction came. Trouble, trial, difficulty came. And they're put out of that garden forever. Now, I'm telling you, pride will cause all kinds of trouble in your life. It's one of the most misquoted verses of the Bible. It's Proverbs 16, 18. Pride goes before, not a fall, before destruction. And a haughty spirit before a fall. It's really the same thing, and it's okay to say it the other way because it's talking, it's twice, it's a teaching principle. You're saying the same thing two different ways. But here's what we need to understand, that pride will bring destruction. It will bring you down. It absolutely will. You need to know this, that pride is a sin, that it's an abomination to God, and it will hurt you. It will cause trouble in your life. It'll cause strife in your life. It'll get you heading the wrong direction. But not only that, you know what? Isn't it terrible when somebody's going the wrong direction, but because of pride, they won't turn around, they won't change? See, pride can destroy your marriage. It can destroy your relationship with your kids. Pride can get you fired at your job. Pride will cause you to not admit when you're doing wrong or you've done wrong. Pride can cause you to make purchases that you shouldn't make. Pride can get you to say things you shouldn't have said, you're going to regret. Pride can get you killed. Pride can cause you to pray powerless prayers. Pride can keep you from realizing how much you need God's help. Pride can keep you from growing and learning spiritually. We got to deal with this thing called pride. We got to be able to identify it in our lives. So, are you humble this morning and proud of it? Proud of it. Young woman came to her pastor. She said, "Pastor, I don't know what to do. I have this sin of pride in my life." She says, "Even at church," she says, "I come to church and I look around and I can't help it. I realize that I'm the most beautiful woman there and pride gets into my heart." And he said, "Oh, don't be upset." He said, "This is not really the sin of pride. It's just a horrible mistake." It's not always that easy, is it? But listen, you know somebody that needs this message? How many of you are somebody that needs this message? Okay. Those of you that are from my generation, you might remember this old song by Carly Simon, "You're So Vain." You're so vain, you're so vain, you probably think this song is about you. You're so vain, I bet you think this song is about you, don't you, don't you? Some of you are so vain, you think this message is not about you, don't you, don't you? It is. It is absolutely for every single one of us. We got to deal with the sin of pride. Pride about our appearance, our strength, our intellect, some talent. We can become prideful about our success, our accomplishments, our position. We as believers, it's amazing to me how believers can become prideful about their faith, because faith is a dependency upon God, and it's very strange to me. I think they think it's faith, but they've really crossed over into some kind of boastful presumption. But I'm just telling you, faith is not something to cause us to be prideful about. Very strange how easy it is for believers, for religious people, to fall into the sin of pride. And Jesus certainly dealt with it with the religious people of his day. We can be prideful about our lifestyle as we look down on sinners, but for the grace of God. We can be proud of our service for the Lord, our good deeds. We want others to know. We want recognition. We want others to see when we help the poor, when we go out of our way to help somebody. We want to post it on Facebook. I'm telling you, pride is a pitfall even for the most spiritual people. You know who the most spiritual people were when Jesus walked this earth? It was, well, his disciples. For all of their faults and flaws, I want to tell you, they cast out devils and healed the sick. And after he was gone, they turned the world upside down. But right after Jesus has told them about his fate and what he is about to go through, James and John come to him and want to know if they can sit on his right hand and his left. They're wanting position. Their pride has gotten the best of them. It's not just them. Then the rest of the disciples are mad because they also want position. And I'm just telling you that no matter how spiritual we think we are, we all have to address this issue of pride. Keep it out of our heart. Jesus says you got to become the servant of all. Why is it that we want others to think that we're smart or we're witty or we're attractive? We want others to think we're spiritual or funny, the best at something. And then there's the one who's thinking, well, I don't care what anybody thinks, and I want everybody to know it. As though they're better than everybody else. Pride wants to be lifted up. It wants the approval of others. Look how many likes I got. Look how many friends I have. Never mind the fact that I barely know 3/4 of them. How we want recognition. Pride's always thinking about me. What I want, how this will affect me. It's all about me. We need to get free from pride. This is what this message is really about this morning. We got to get free from pride. John 8:32, Jesus says, when you know the truth will make you free. And I'm telling you, the truth from God's word will make you free. It goes against the grain of culture, but it'll make you free. The religious people said to Jesus, they said, "We've never been in bondage to any man." He says, "The truth will make you free." And they say, "We've never been in bondage to any man." And there's a lot of people that say, "I don't have any pride." I'm telling you, they weren't being honest, and neither are we when we say we have no pride. Two verses later in John 8:34, he says, "Whoever commits sin is a slave of sin." A slave of sin. And I want to tell you that pride enslaves a lot of people. It will drive you. It will burden you. It will cause you to always seek the approval of others, always feeling like you have to be the best. A slave of pride will never find rest. And that's where a whole lot of us live, way too much of the time. As long as you're a slave of pride, you never find rest. It will drive you. Jesus says in Matthew 11:28-30, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart." The NIV says, gentle and humble, lowly, humble. Jesus does not say, "Come to me and I'm going to teach you how to be bold and powerful and strong." But we like that message. He says, "Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble, lowly." And what happens when we do that? Can you believe it? He says, "You'll find rest for your souls. You'll find rest." We should always do our best for the Lord in everything we do. But we do so with joy, because we're just, as His servants, doing what we're supposed to do. And God takes care of the result. We don't have to bear that burden. We don't have to carry that weight. He says, "Take my yoke upon you." I'm telling you, we need to be free from that burden that pride would put on you. He loves us. He's good to us. He is merciful and gracious. And here's the thing. You see, pride says it's all about me. It's all about what I'm doing. It's all about what I need to do and my responsibility. It's all about me. Humility says it's all about God. It's all about how great He is and how good He is to me. It's all about what He can do. Learn from me, He says. Our goal needs to be to please Him, to serve Him. And I'm telling you, that's not a hard yoke. But we got to learn to be gentle and humble in heart, and we find that rest for our soul. To be humble is to let God be God, and not to think of ourselves as more important than we are. I love this story about George McCausland, who was a great YMCA director. But there came a point when they were losing membership and they had financial trouble and staff problems. And George found himself working 85 hours a week. He found himself getting little sleep. And when he did take a little time off, he was worrying and fretting about the problems at the YMCA. Sounds like a lot of pastors, sounds like a lot of people in general. He was on the verge of a breakdown. He finally went and saw a therapist, and the therapist said, "George, somehow you've got to learn to turn things over to God." So George got away, and he went for a walk in the woods, and finally he found a place to sit down, and he sat down, and as he talked to the Lord, he began to relax, and he said for the first time he felt the tension go out of his body. And he decided to write a short note to God. And the note said this. He said, "Dear God, today I hereby resign as the general manager of the universe. Love, George." He said, "Wonder of wonders, God accepted my resignation." I want to encourage you this morning to get free from pride. It is a heavy burden and a heavy load. And it's time for you to let God be God. And you just please the Lord and just serve the Lord. You see, you don't have to bear that burden of the approval of man. You don't have to bear that burden of success. You just let God have all the glory. Turn it all over to Him. I'm telling you, when pride is gone and you're free from the fear of man, from what others think. 1 Peter 5:5-7 says, "God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you in due time." And you see, when we humble ourselves, God is the one who exalts us. We don't need to ever promote ourselves or exalt ourselves, but we humble ourselves. And then He says this in verse 7, "Casting all your care upon Him because He cares for you." Let God be God in your life. Quit trying to do His job. Your job is to be humble and just obey God, and God will take care of you. When we humble ourselves and we obey God, you see, we're depending on the Lord. Humility is the cure for pride. It is the only way. And that humility comes to us one of two ways. Either we humble ourselves and then God will exalt us, or if we don't, then God will humble us. That's what the Bible says. Jesus Himself said it in Luke 14:11. "He who exalts himself will be humbled." Humble yourself before the Lord this morning. Realize that, listen, it's not that we are nothing. It's not that we are scum. Oh no. We are His children, the apple of His eye. But it is that He is everything. I want to leave you with this verse from Isaiah 57:15. "For thus says the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy." The high and lofty one who lives in eternity. This majestic, holy God, awesome God, ruler of the universe for all eternity. He says, "I dwell in the high and holy place with Him who has a contrite and humble spirit." Think about this. When we're humble, God dwells with us. The high and holy one, He dwells with us to revive the spirit of the humble, to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Stand with me and let's pray.